Episode 8, the Hard and Hustle podcast. Taping this on a Monday. The Magic go 1-1 on the weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us once again. Nick Runowitz here. Scott Inez is with me. Another Jekyll and Hyde weekend for the Orlando Magic. You beat the Indiana Pacers in Indy. Not easy to do. And then you get outscored 40 to what? Was it 40 to 15 in the fourth quarter? Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Jeez. And you lose to one of the three worst teams in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Magic are 3-3 after the All-Star break. Wins over Toronto, Indy, and Golden State. Losses to the Chicago Bulls, the New York Knicks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You sound so depressed when you say that.
I think the Magic are confused. I mean, they've been tanking for so long, Scotty. They think they're supposed to lose to these teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's been a Jekyll and Hyde sort of second half and really all season long for the Orlando Magic. And I know that's something that we're going to get into here in a little bit. But very frustrating.
Yes.
Sunday night's game, very, very frustrating, no doubt about it.
Yes, it was. If you are checking out the podcast for the first time, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. He's Scott Inez. You can catch him weekdays on ESPN 580 Orlando from 4 to 6 o'clock. I'm Nick Runowitz. You can catch me on ESPN 580 as well with Scotty and on my own shows from 6 to 8 p.m. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Inez Says and me at ESPN 580. Nick, you can get this podcast through the link that we tweet out every single episode, as well as wherever you find podcasts. Just search for the Orlando Pinstriped Post. We're part of the Orlando Pinstripe Post Network. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. The whole thing is where you can find us. So let's get this thing started here, Scotty. We did this when we taped kind of last week on Monday as well.
Yeah.
You take the good with the bad. So yeah. Last time it was fresh off the Knicks loss after you get the win over Toronto. Here it's, what do you want first? You want the glass half full or the glass half empty?
Let's kind of take the glass half full first.
Okay.
Shall we? You're still in the playoff picture as of our taping on Monday. You're clinging to that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. Look, as you said, you've beaten three of the best teams post-All-Star break, and you've lost to three of the worst teams in the league post-All-Star break. You beat Toronto, Golden State, Indiana. Yes, you dropped the games to the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Bulls. What does this tell us?
What does it mean, Scotty?
I got to tell you, it is Jekyll and Hyde. I'm kind of mystified at it as well, but I think let's kind of talk it out and break it down. I think it tells us that this team continues to raise its level against the best in the business. That's the good news. Okay, if your glass is half full, that's the good news. It tells you that it's in there, Nick. It's in there somewhere against the Torontos and the Indianas and the Golden States of the world. The A-plus level is in there, which would bode well for you on down the line if you happen to make the playoffs and you face off against whoever it is, Nick, Milwaukee, Toronto, Indiana, Philadelphia. We don't know who it may be as of yet. We don't even know if the Magic are going to make the playoffs,
right,
but it
so
tells you that
the
this
point
team
you're
can't
making
do
is
it.
Right. The point you're making is, okay, if they make the playoffs, if they get into the tournament,
you won't
we
be,
know these
yeah.
guys, they can play with the best teams in the league.
You're not going to be facing the Bulls, the Knicks, or the Cavaliers.
No,
so I guess that's a good thing.
I can confirm that. The Cavaliers will not be making the postseason.
Yeah, but if you're going glass half empty here, it also tells you that this team, I think, and we talked with Stan Van Gundy on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez last week about this. I think it tells you that for the Orlando Magic, you're in a phase where you're coming out of a really bad phase of like 6 years of losing basketball, 6 years of spineless, emotionless basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're coming out of that phase now. Like, we talk about it many times on the show. The arrow is up for the Orlando Magic.
Sure.
And even though you lost to the Bulls and to the Knicks and to the Cavaliers, I still believe that the arrow is up with this team. You can beat anybody, but you can also lose to anybody in this phase that they're going through right now. I think this is a mark of a team that is learning how to crawl before it walks. And I think this is about a basketball team being in that interim phase, going from bad to good. And this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of good, and you're going to see a lot of bad, too.
I have to say, watching the game against the Cavaliers on Sunday night, and I watched it with our buddy Chris Crawford, who's here on the podcast with us, and our friend Kevin Rayfuse, who works over here for Cox Media Group. The Cleveland Cavaliers are the ultimate, oh, that bleeping guy is on that team.
That's right.
Team. Yeah. I mean, I had a moment when you saw Matthew Dellavedova, and
right.
you're like, Damn, Delly's back?
Delly's back, baby. Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson?
Yeah.
A Clarkson sighting? Nick Stauskas?
Well, how
Stauskas?
About, I mean, even Kevin Love.
I know.
I mean, even Kevin Love, who was out with the foot injury until last month, and he didn't even play in that blowout loss the day before against the Detroit Pistons.
And Kevin Love had 16 points to go along with 14 rebounds. He was kind of like, Kevin Love was actually pretty, he was pretty good in that game.
The Cavaliers were, and that's something that we're not going to look at, I know, because we're Magic-centric.
Yeah.
Cavaliers played a really good basketball game. Let's not forget about that, too. And I don't want to make any excuses for the Orlando Magic.
Good, let's not.
There are no excuses.
Yes.
Okay, but, okay, you're playing 3 games in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing that final game, that third game in 4 days, not even 23 hours after you played your last game in Indiana. And look, this team, like it or not, and it's no excuse, but this team had not, that was very, very evident early on. This team had zero in the tank.
There was nothing.
No energy. And that's where you rely on your second unit.
Yeah, and your bench once again got just fatally worked.
Oh, my gosh.
You scored 13 points off the bench. What was the margin? Do you have it in front of
you?
Well,
I remember the Knicks margin.
Yeah.
I remember the Knicks margin from last week, 75-7. On Sunday night, it was 47-13 in favor of the Cleveland Cavaliers off the bench.
Yeah.
47-13.
You're seeing once again, I mean, there are many flaws on this Orlando Magic team, but the fatal flaw is if Terrence Ross does not show up, if the bench does not show up, you're not winning the basketball game.
You're the guy who brought it up last week. You believe,
yes.
And there are many, that there's like a Nikki Football's army out there.
Yeah. What up, people?
There are many people out there calling my show on ESPN 580 saying, we agree with Nick, Terrence Ross is the MVP of this team, mainly because, to simply put it, Nick Vucevic goes off like he did on Sunday night against Cleveland, had a great game. What were his numbers?
28, 13, 6, and 2.
Okay.
2 blocks and 2 steals.
Had a really great game against Cleveland, and you still lose, and yet Terrence Ross comes off the bench
and
goes 1 of 12 with 2 points. You don't have a chance to win if T. Ross does that.
I'm going
to
report right now, and I don't have this yet. I'll check this. I bet you the Magic do not have a win when Terrence Ross doesn't make a three. This guy, he's made the most three-pointers in the NBA coming off the bench this year. It is Terrence Ross.
He was 0-6 last night.
He has made more threes coming off the bench, if I remember this correctly, than the entire Golden State Warriors bench.
Yeah.
When he doesn't make a three, I'm going to almost guarantee it, and I will look this up. This is irrational reporting. This is terrible reporting, whatever, that when he doesn't make a three, they lose every single time. And I love this take that I have. I'm married to it, happily married to it.
It's not a bad take. Even though I'm not believing
Terrence
in it,
Ross,
it's not a bad take.
Terrence Ross is the most valuable player on the Orlando Magic, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Nick Vucevic can go out and give you 28, 13, 6 with 2 blocks and 2 steals, and you're still going to lose the freaking basketball game because that bench is void of any kind of scoring. Isaiah Briscoe, 2 of 6. Kem Birch, 1 of 2. Wesley Wandu, 2 of 3. And when you're not pulling a guy like Mo Bamba off the bench who can get hot and shoot the ball a little bit from deep and give you some offense, he's the only
who
gun you got.
Score?
He's
who,
the
who
only
else?
Powder
no,
in the
you're
cannon.
Right. You're absolutely
so,
right.
So, once again, we got bad Terrence Ross.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on with him, that he's been so Jekyll and Hyde just like this team. It could be that he's reaching a point in the season that he's not used to playing some of the minutes that he's playing coming off the bench.
And I think, look, we're going to get into T. Ross here in a little bit, but going back to your original question about the Magic, glass half full, glass half empty.
I just want to talk about the MVP.
I know you do, because that you're remaining on that hill like forever.
I'm going to die on it. Yes.
I know you are.
Yes.
But the good news, I still believe that the Orlando Magic, the arrow is up for this team, as inconsistent as they have been against the bad teams. And don't forget, over the previous 6 years, we were one of those teams.
Yes.
And now you're starting to see this team crawl. Have they walked yet? No, but you're starting to see them crawl out of irrelevancy to relevancy, and I think this is what happens with those types of teams. And look at the teams around us, Nick. Look at the standings. Look at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 in the Eastern
Conference. That's what all these teams
are
doing.
They're all up and down.
Yes, that's what Stan Van Gundy told us on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. Stan Van Gundy said, listen, when you look at Detroit, Brooklyn, Orlando, Charlotte, Miami, they can beat anybody in the league, and they also can lose to anybody because they're the types of teams that you don't know what you're getting every single night.
Yeah.
And that's what it is with the Magic. I can't shake this, though, that this team should be winners of six straight out of the All-Star break.
And 11 straight all told, right?
11 straight overall because you count. And it isn't an absolute half empty, half full. Like, how do you feel about this team on Monday?
Yeah.
Is, all right, well, you're 3-3 out of the All-Star break. You have wins over Toronto, Golden State, and Indy. I feel great about the way they played, especially beating Indy and Indy is just ridiculous. They were 24-8 going into that game
at home. Yeah.
It's one of the best home records in the league. Them and Philly are two of the best, along with Toronto and Milwaukee in the East. I mean, which, by the way, those are the top four teams in the East. You expect them to win those games. But you feel great about all three of those wins. And you feel equally is just
exactly
awful
and
about those losses.
And as is typical, the negative takes over the positive.
It does.
Right?
And that's what I'm telling you.
Right,
My real issue with this, Scott, is that this team, yet again for another season, you get to the game after that game against Cleveland, and I have to hear Aaron Gordon say this again. And you tell me if we've heard this before.
We just got to stay focused. You know, that's the biggest part about it. It's a great team, a team that's not doing so well. You know, it's the NBA. So there's talented people across the board, people that are capable. So we got to just be locked in. Forget about what's on the front of the jersey.
We got to be locked in. We got to be focused. And this, to me, I don't want to call it a culture problem. I actually think it's a personnel problem. Aaron Gordon was the guy who said he was ready to be a franchise player at the end of last season. Aaron Gordon said he wanted a coach to hold them accountable. Aaron Gordon got both. He got the contract, he got the coach in Steve Clifford, and here we are, 70 games into the season, however many games you got left, whatever it is, 65 games in the season, and Aaron Gordon is still saying, we got to focus. I've been listening to this for Aaron Gordon for half a freaking decade. Aaron, at some point in time, you have to be the one that focuses. This team takes some of their mental cues off of a guy like Aaron Gordon because he's been there.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon has been around long enough that he has gone from the young rookie to the young buck, to the rising star, to now he's kind of the vet on the team, or at least he's one of them. This is year 5.
Yep.
Aaron Gordon should not be telling me how they need to learn how to focus. Aaron Gordon should be showing that team how to focus.
I hear you, but Aaron is still very, very young and immature at 23 years of age.
I realize that
it's his fifth year in the league. I get all that. But look, again, we're Magic-centric here on the Heart and Hustle podcast. If we were to go out exploring in this league, you could say the same thing about the Golden State Warriors, who last week came to Florida and lost at Miami and at Orlando. Mm-hmm. Everybody loses their focus.
When Aaron has three rings, I will cut him some slack.
When he's vying for
his fourth ring in 5 years, I will cut him some slack. Aaron Gordon has done nothing in the NBA to continue to get a break for showing up to games without the focus, intensity. You said, at the start of that Cleveland game, you felt it. They're just doing enough to survive a bad Cleveland team, and you were hoping that it was the Cavs that lost it and not the Magic winning the game. That's not what should be happening during this part of the season.
To Aaron Gordon's credit, he has been much more consistent this year than
Agreed.
In years past.
Agreed.
Okay, so let's bring that up. But all in all, I got to tell you, even with the losses to Cleveland, the Bulls and the Knicks, and the wins over the Golden State Warriors and Toronto and Indiana post-All-Star break, I overall, Nick, am pleased. I'm not happy losing those games, overall I am pleased with what we have seen here recently with this team. I think, simply put, it's a bunch of players who are learning what it takes to win on a consistent level in this league, something that is very, very difficult to do when you're going from point A, which is a bad basketball team and a bad franchise, to making that move to being a good team and a good franchise. And I know you want to talk about T. Ross coming up, because that is the guy that you are banking on to be your MVP. And let's talk about him real quick.
MVT Ross.
MVT
Ross. No,
I'm
going to need to crowdsource that.
No, when it goes over my head, like immediately, it took me three seconds.
I don't know why you missed that. I don't know why you missed it.
Look, the Human Torch has been incredible this year. Okay, he's been phenomenal, and with a guy like Terrence Ross, you take a lot of good, no matter what. I mean, even the microwave back in the day. You know, Vinnie Johnson coming off the bench for the Detroit Pistons. You took a lot of the good, but there would be nights when Vinnie would go 1 of 10, when he would go 1 of 12.
Yeah, when there was a power outage.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we saw from Terrence Ross against Cleveland. And in the New York game. He can have some really, really bad nights. And you are right in terms of the MVT Ross. Okay? You are right. When he does not play well and he does not score, who's going to score off the bench for you?
By the way, the Magic are 2-5 when he doesn't make a three.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, we needed Terrence Ross against Cleveland because it was obvious we had nothing in the tank early in that game. We needed the bench to come through. And unfortunately, he misses, what, 11 of his 12 shots? But to your point about T. Ross being the MVP, if he has a game like that, the Magic are going to have a hard time because you look at what they did in the starting lineup. I mean, look, starting lineup, four of the five guys scored in double figures. Nick Vucevic had 28-13. DJ Augustine, who was coming back from a sprained ankle, had 19-5-5. Aaron Gordon had 15. Evan Fournier had 11. We need more from Fournier, granted, but there's no way that you can win. To your point, and I'll give you credit, There's no way you can win a basketball game with T. Ross coming off the bench and going 1 of 12 from the field and 0 of 6 from three-point range. But again, with a guy like T. Ross, shoot or shoot.
Yeah.
You take the good with the bad. Unfortunately, fortunately for us, there's been a lot more good than bad this season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what he's been this year. He had 2 points, and then you go back to the Indy win where he had 23, had 16 against Golden State. If this guy doesn't come off the bench and give you, what, at least 10 points, you know, and give you some offense in some big moments, because even with Nick Vucevic having the year that he is having, all-star caliber season, and Aaron Gordon being more consistent, and Jonathan Isaac giving you some offense that we didn't expect, this team still sputters offensively at times where it's painful. It's painful to watch them try to score the basketball. And Terrence Ross, more often than not, has been the guy in those moments who has come up with a big three that goes down, that's contested, that has no business going in.
You talked about the big moments, and T. Ross typically has come through in the big moments, i.e. Saturday night in Indiana against the Pacers when he scored 16 of his 23 points there in the fourth quarter. He had nothing in the fourth quarter on Sunday night against Cleveland. I'm not going to bang on Terrence Ross for that performance on Sunday night because, again, shooters shoot. The knock on Terrence Ross throughout his career up until this season was what?
Inconsistent.
A lack of consistency. Yeah. He has been relatively consistent this year to the point where he is, I believe, third or fourth in the league in terms of bench scoring this year. He has been very, very consistent, relatively speaking. So I'm not going to bang on Terrence Ross. Shooters shoot. Sometimes shooters are going to have their issues. But guess what? Come Tuesday night in Philadelphia, Steve Clifford is going to go right back to Terrence Ross.
He has no other choice.
No, he doesn't. But Terrence Ross is typically going to come through for you this year. You're going to have those games where you're going to go 1 for 12 and 0 for 10 and 1 for 10 like he did against the Knicks last week. But the bottom line is, I ain't giving up on your guy. I mean, you've got him listed as the MVP of the Orlando Magic for a reason. So I'm not going to bang on Terrence Ross for having two bad games last week.
No, and that's what you're going to get. Like you said, you take the good with the bad, and he's run into some bad games. It's funny, though, he's having the good games against the better opponents and bad games against some of these teams.
Sounds familiar,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, I know. I would say, you know, there is a focus thing. For as much as I want to complain about Aaron Gordon, Terrence Ross, similar thing, where he just has not been able to really get it going.
But to your point, and I may be talking myself into your point about T. Ross being
the
MVP of
this
team.
I'm enjoying this. Keep going, yeah.
He plays well against the better teams. What happens typically against the better teams? Magic win.
They do. Well, recently, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right, recently, post All-Star break, what happens when he does not play well against those poor teams? You know, I'm looking at the numbers from the starting lineup against Cleveland. Not bad. 28-13 for Vooch last night. Mm-hmm. 19 for DJ Augustine, who gutted out a performance against the Cleveland
on
Cavaliers.
On a bad wheel.
T. Ross goes 1 of 12 with 2 points. You got no shot. To your point, you should stay on that hill. I'm not believing. I think Nick Vucevic is the MVP of this team. But To your point, if T. Ross does not play well, this team has no shot.
No, I'm not getting off of it. This is the guy that is, he is the one determining the wins and losses for this team, because Nick Vucevic gives you what he gives you every single night. Terrence Ross is one of those guys where you must have it off the bench where there's really nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about the playoff picture too.
Okay.
Because right now you're kind of clinging to that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference, Nick. If the NBA season today, we would be in.
Yes.
We would make the playoffs. You're at 30-35. You're in a virtual tie for ninth place Charlotte, a half game back up on the Heat, rather. But keep in mind that all-important loss column. You know, this is something that...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're not familiar with over the previous 6 years,
Tell me a little bit more about this.
That all-important loss column is very, very important, because of all those teams you're battling, Detroit, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Miami, the Orlando Magic have the most losses of all those teams in the mix, 6-10.
Is that not a good thing?
That's not a good thing at all.
It doesn't sound like a good thing. You don't want the most losses ever.
No, not a good thing. Now, the good news is the Nets continue to fade a little bit here.
Yeah, I have to say, we might get a surprise spot open up here if Brooklyn continues to struggle. They've lost three straight. They're 4-6 in their last 10. We don't know when Spencer Dinwiddie's going to be back. And when he does come back, it's not like he's going to be the same guy right away. It could be that the Magic are in a situation where Brooklyn fades and you've got a little extra room here to work with.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's going to be a battle to the end of the season between these teams. And look, that final game.
Charlotte.
I'm looking at that final game against the Charlotte, a team that has been a nemesis for the Orlando Magic, though we beat them about a month ago.
I don't care about that game at all at this point. You're gonna get to see Kemba Walker in a game that matters.
Maybe.
In a game that where the playoffs could be on the line, and you know who's really good in games that matter?
Kemba.
Kemba freaking Walker.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can we like Nancy Kerrigan that guy or something?
We got a long, long way to go until then, but strength of schedule favors the Orlando Magic above all those teams right now.
Brooklyn has a brutal schedule the rest of the way. It's not very easy for Detroit, Charlotte as well. The Magic have by far the easiest schedule of any of these teams.
Right.
Working the rest of the way.
But you look at the stretch of schedule that you're in right now, okay? This is probably the most difficult stretch that we're going to see in the final 18, 19 games of the season, because you're in the midst of 5 of 6 on the road. You go to Philly on Tuesday night, a team that you already beat this year, home to Dallas on Friday, at Memphis on Sunday, at Washington next Wednesday, before coming home for a huge 5-game homestand against the Cavs, the Hawks, New Orleans, Memphis, and the Sixers. So, yes.
Like, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but, like, you should beat Memphis. I know, like, we're going to play the should game here with all of these teams.
Should.
I understand.
You should.
But then again,
you should beat Chicago, New York, and Cleveland,
right.
too.
There is a stretch here, though, where, like you said, they have Philly on Tuesday night, where you get Dallas at home. You should win that game.
Should.
I know the word should. I understand, okay? But you get Dallas, Memphis, Washington, Cleveland, Atlanta, New Orleans, Memphis. That's 7 winnable games in a row where you might be able to put together a 5-2 stretch, a 6-1 stretch. Dallas, for instance, on Friday, did you see they just put Dirk Nowitzki back in the starting lineup?
I did.
By the way, that's not for marketing. That's because Dallas wants to lose. They want to keep losing basketball games.
Right.
So Dallas is not actively trying to win games. Neither is Memphis in the situation they're in this season. Washington has given up the ghost.
Yeah.
I know you just lost to Cleveland. I don't think that they'll outscore you 40-21 in the fourth quarter again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident about this stretch you're entering after the Philly game, where you might be able to put together a 5-2, 6-1. 7-0 stretch, perhaps?
You'd love to see that. You'd to see 11-0 right now over the last 11 games. That's what you'd like to see.
Of course, but I think the attitude today should be that the sixth seed is still in sight.
Absolutely.
That you're still, what is it,
a game and a half?
No, you're a game and a half. Wait, that's 17. Sorry, two and a half.
Two and a half
games back.
Yeah.
Stupid USF,
that's
Matt.
All right.
Okay.
That's all right. And look, you'd love to see this team become more consistent. I still think this team is going to make the playoffs. I still think this team has a shot of making it all the way up to the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. But the Magic cannot think like you're talking right now. Winnable games. Like they're all losable games for the Orlando Magic. That's been proven over the last number of weeks by losing to Chicago and Cleveland and New York.
I guess my point is when you start looking at the schedule, that stretch, that seven games, you need to go 5-2, 6-1, because look at what happens after that.
Right.
You have this stretch of Dallas, Memphis, Washington, Cleveland, Atlanta, New Orleans, Memphis, those seven games. Then you're home to Philly, and you go on the road for a four-game stretch at Miami, right there in the standings with you, at Detroit, right in front of you in the sixth seed right now, at to Indy. You think they're going to be a little pissed off that you beat them the last time? You're at Indy again. Then you go to Toronto, another team that you just beat, and Toronto's going to be in playoff form. They're going to play Kawhi in that game as they get closer to the playoff run here, all right? So those four games right there immediately after, you have to go 5-2.
Yeah.
6-1, because you could lose 3 of 4 there and back your way out once again. So, like we just said, they're all losable as well as winnable, but you have to be opportunistic, and that is one of the few opportunities left for the Magic to bank some wins before the final stretch when they hit a tough spot in the schedule.
And look, here's another thing that came up over the weekend, and we haven't seen an awful lot of a lack of health of this team this year, which is a very good thing, because in the previous 6 years, we saw an awful lot of guys going out on the injured list. DJ Augustine goes down near the end of the first half against Indiana. Indeed. Didn't play most of the second half.
Correct.
Tried to gut it out early, but Steve Clifford gave him the early hook early in the third quarter, and the Magic got away with it with guys like Isaiah Briscoe and Jerron Grant coming off the bench and filling that role quite admirably against Indiana. DJ comes out and surprisingly plays very well against Cleveland with his 19 points and 5 rebounds and 5 assists. But that's another thing that you have to pay attention to in the final month and a half of the season.
Sure.
The health of this basketball team.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? And I hate to mention it because here I am, I'm knocking on wood. But you look at the overall health of this team, Nick. It's been very good.
It has. You ran down some of the list of guys and how many games that they've played, and I was a little surprised that we've been this lucky, knock on wood, with health.
Other than Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
And we don't know whether we're going to see Mo the rest of the season. Of course, Markelle Fultz as well. I doubt whether we'll see Markelle Fultz.
I don't think we'll see Markelle
this season, but you look at Nick Vucevic. He's played in 64 of the 65 so far. Aaron Gordon, 61 of the 65.
By the way, the one game Vooch missed, of course, was his kid being born.
Exactly.
Right, that wasn't health-related.
Again, that was not health. Well, I guess.
Could have played in that one.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
You want to explain?
I think he should have played in that game, that's all. I think they won anyway, so it didn't really matter. I would have liked for Nick to have played in that game, that's all.
I would have liked to have seen that. But hey, whatevs, they won the game. But, I mean, Aaron Gordon, 61. Fournier, 64 of 65. T. Ross, your MVP. And here's another thing that could back your point up. 65 of 65 games T. Ross has played in this year.
There we go, T. Ross. Yeah.
MVP T. Ross. I mean, there you go. Jonathan Isaac, 59. So all of your key guys, Nick.
They've all played.
Have remained healthy. But now you're in a stretch because these are the dog days of March here. March, by far and away, mark my words, is the longest month for NBA players on the NBA calendar.
You can see the finish line.
Yes, absolutely. March is by far and away the longest month of the season. It's seemingly endless. So if this team can remain healthy, you look at the teams around you. You know, Brooklyn has had health issues. So has Miami. Health is definitely going to be a key for the Orlando Magic going down the stretch, because I got to tell you, when DJ went down with that sprained ankle, I went, man, that really hasn't happened a lot this year, which is very unusual for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, no doubt. I totally agree. They have been healthy. By the way, just a roster move for Orlando that we should mention. The Lakeland Magic beat the Erie BayHawks on Sunday, and Troy Copain, who's on a two-way contract with the Magic, actually left the arena, caught a plane up to Philly. He's meeting the team today in Philly and will be available to play on Tuesday. That's a hedge, just in case DJ Augustine is banged up a little bit. Troy Copain averaging 16 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5 assists this season with Lakeland. I don't know. I don't think you'll see him. I just think it's another warm body just in case.
Absolutely. President of Basketball Operations Jeff Weltman is a very cautious dude. And I think he saw that injury to DJ Augustine late in the first half against Indiana on Saturday and went, okay, just in case. You know, Isaiah Briscoe has been giving us some quality minutes off the bench. Jaren Grant has kind of been up and down this year. We may need a backup to the backup to the backup. So I think it's a good move by the Orlando Magic just in case. But you love what you saw out of DJ, even in a loss to Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe. Lakeland, I think, doesn't play till Friday at Fort Wayne. We need him back for that. That's all I'm going to say.
Who's we?
The Lakeland Magic. Okay, as the voice of the Lakeland Magic, I'm just compelling the organization. We're in a push here. We're a half game back in the number one seed.
It's
in the East.
Always about Nick Granowitz.
Yeah, we would like him back.
It's
that's
always
all.
About numero uno.
We'd like him back. And speaking of speaking of it being all about me, we gotta go.
Yeah. Because
we got stuff to do here.
We do.
This has been episode?
Episode 8 or 9, something like that.
I
can't keep track
9,
anymore, Nick.
I think it was 8. I'm not sure. Whatever. Another edition of the Heart and Hustle podcast. We'll be back a little bit later this week. Make sure you catch Fox Sports Florida on Tuesday night. Scott Inez will be your filling in PK.
Yep, filling in for PK Tuesday night with Lisa Leslie.
With Lisa Leslie. So screen grab Scotty on your phones.
Absolutely.
Okay, grab the screen grab and tweet me at ESPN5. Hashtag screen grab Scotty. We do that every time. I was actually so inebriated on Saturday night.
Saturday, you couldn't screen grab?
I was so upset. I woke up.
I had the tie going on, Big Daddy. I had a little purple
the expensive
and pink
tie?
No, it wasn't the expensive tie.
I want to see the expensive tie.
All right, we'll break it out on Tuesday.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. Make sure you can find this podcast everywhere you find podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, the whole thing. You can listen to Scotty on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez on ESPN 580 Orlando. That's 580 AM, 96.5 FM HD2, as well as everywhere else you can get audio. And you can follow me on Twitter at ESPN 580. Nick, we'll talk to you a little later this week. Of course, go Magic. Let's see if they can go on a bit of a playoff push here.